All right, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number. Always open, 24-7. Got a big show for you tonight. After 11:30, Penn Jillette, one half of the dynamic duo Penn and Teller, joins us to talk about their upcoming TV special on Monday night at 8 Central, and that's going to be on the CW. They're going to actually teach some of their favorite tricks and illusions from home. So they're doing magic. And good evening to you, Curtis. They're doing magic at their house via Zoom with other celebrities, and they're teaching some of them too. And that's going to be pretty cool. And I think they dug into their own archives, you know, some of their best tricks, and then some of the illusions they kind of put together where they don't have to be present to do them. So I think that's going to be very cool. 11:50, as regular network TV season came to a close. And of course, it's not happening in the streaming world. There's never an end to that, those seasons. But what is your favorite TV series finale of all time? I got into a conversation with somebody the other day about it, that this is the time of year, May, when most TV shows end, and got into a debate on what those top shows were. And we're going to take your calls at a little bit before midnight, 312-981-7200. Talk a little bit about those season finales, series finales. And then after midnight, and I'm really looking forward to this, and you will too, have it on Alan Zweibel. Now, he is a legendary writer and producer of the first five seasons of Saturday Night Live. So we're talking Belushi, Aykroyd, Radner, Murray, Chevy Chase. Incredible cast. And he was also on screen, too, and just a funny, funny, funny guy. He co-created It's Gary Shandling Show, which kind of morphed into the Larry Sanders Show later. He was a supervising or producer on the on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Really good friends with Richard Lewis, Larry David, helped them with their careers, and then also with Billy Crystal. And he's got a new movie coming out as well, but he just wrote a new book about helping people be funny, and that's really what he has done his entire life. And I think about this, this fall is the 45th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. And I remember as a kid, you know, 10 years old, or maybe I wasn't even 10, 8, and remember my parents watching it, and I'd sneak downstairs around the corner and watch it, because I saw these commercials for this thing, because it wasn't for me, obviously. But funny as hell. So we'll talk to Alan Zweibel later. But first, while many of us had to reinvent ourselves during these past 2 months, so has Elliot Bambra, and it's TV Chicago's, WGN TV Chicago's Best. This weekend, there's a brand new episode, something they've really never done before like this. It's Pizza Curbside and Delivery, and that's going to be a special program. That's Sunday night at 10:30. And Elliot joins us tonight. What's going on, buddy?
I'm fine, Dave Plyer. How are you?
I'm good. I don't like not seeing you right here. And
I was going to say,
and this is very odd.
I was going to say, it's very strange calling in. Hi, Dave Plyer. My name's Elliot. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller to the show.
Great. Do you enjoy the show?
I just wanted to talk about winter parking in Chicago and when that comes into effect, and what we can do about changing that.
When it comes into effect.
It just feels weird calling in. And I like the way you said that I've had to reinvent myself. Like, I have the capacity as a human being to reinvent myself to do anything.
Yeah, but man, you had to do it for some shows here. I mean, right? I mean, I'm very curious to hear about this, but, you know, I'm glad you're doing it, because that is our new reality right now. And I'm hoping by sometime in June, as I saw the mayor's press conference, that even though the governor had said the end of the month, June 26th, that restaurants might actually reopen for in-house dining, that it might be moved up a week or two. And I think the sooner the better. I mean, these guys, and honestly, I think out of everybody, the restaurants are just suffering.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. I read the same thing as well, and it's been a struggle. But honestly, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and I saw the same thing in the Tribune today, that Mayor Lightfoot said that June may be when restaurants officially start to cautiously reopen. But restaurants, you know what? We're really lucky in Chicago. We have some amazing, forward-thinking, and incredible people in the restaurant scene. And they are evolving, and they're pivoting, and they're reconcepting. I mean, who'd have thought even a year ago that you could take home a meal from a Linea to have at home?
Yeah.
Or that you could get Wiener Circle delivered I mean, this,
and be insulted and be insulted in person.
That's the thing. You can actually get curbside insults. Whether you can order the
curbside
the
cursing,
or not, I do not know.
I know you're right. I was talking to a friend of mine who's mutual friends with Let Us Entertain You, Rich Melman, and he's got 126 restaurants, and he's losing millions of dollars. I mean, it's still a privately held company. This is not a public company, so it's not just the restaurant, the individual restaurant owner. It's some bigger groups as well. And that's what's so tough. I mean, I'm ordering out when I can, you know, and trying to support them in every way. I got to tell you a story. I went to Wisconsin today to get my boat out of storage before I was starting to be charged extra time for having it there and getting into the small lake that we're on up there. And I'm driving through the neighborhood and the restaurants, most of the stores, their doors are wide open. And I drove by this one restaurant that I usually go to, and it says we're now open, and people are there. There's no mask. There's no nothing.
And it's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. I'm not going to say I'm being, you know, I do think that at some point we got to start opening up because we're going to ruin more lives with no economy here. And really some psychological issues too, but, we got to get things opened up, but you don't go from zero to 100 overnight and celebrate it. Like, hey man, look at us. That freaks me out.
There's going to be some trepidation from patrons and guests going into places. And I think that's clearly been something that a lot of the restaurants I've seen and have spoken to have taken into consideration. When you realize that the things are not going to go back to normal straight away, and these guys are working off of the back of a couple of months of a huge amount of diminished return and business, you know, the fact that you have a place like El Che Bar that's, you know, currently butchering steaks and other cuts of meat, Middlebrow Bungalow, another great spot that's been on the show in Logan Square, the brewery and pizza joint, they've now got a grocery arm to their business, and they've got a commercial bread kitchen they've just started up in the plant, which is a fantastic place in the back of the yard. They're selling home pizza kits. And then you think of somewhere like Fat Rice, legendary place like Fat Rice, helmed by James Beard, winner at Conlon, and now it's Super Fat Rice Market, and they're offering these at-home cooking kits and dishes, legendary dishes of theirs that you can make at home. I mean, it's incredible, and it really speaks to you know, the entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And the groups and restaurants in Chicago that are showing that whatever the situation and the pandemic and the virus and the shutdowns throw at them, that they will adapt in order to survive. And that really is a reflection of Chicago in a microcosm. It's whatever you can throw at us, we will take that opportunity and we'll turn it into something positive, and we'll do what we can with what we've got.
Well, you know, and in retrospect, looking back at where maybe some restaurants were earlier this year, you know, if they weren't strong going into this, obviously that's where we are going to lose some restaurants. I think those that are forward thinking, like you said, and a lot more entrepreneurial, and those who had a really good business going in and good people working for them, I think they, of course, will survive. You know, when I was talking to this restaurant owner in Wisconsin from my car, you know, he said, well, I can't even get half my employees back in here because they're freaked out because now they're going to be exposed to people all day in an 8-hour shift. So, you know, I just think there's just some steps, you know, wearing some masks or, you know, and he was separating tables almost 8 feet apart on the patio. So you're outside, you know, that's smart. So some businesses are going to do the right thing because it's the right thing. Some are just going to open the doors like we saw on television the other day. So, I mean, I think there's a happy medium we have to find here. We're talking to Elliot Bamber from WGN-TV, Chicago's Best. He's got a new episode coming up on Sunday, a little different. And we're going to talk about that after the break next on 720 WGN. This week on Chicago's Best, now more than ever, it's time to order in a Chicago classic. It's Chicago's Best Pizza curbside and delivery special Sunday night at 10:30 on WGN-TV. And what a coincidence, it's Elliot Bamber from Chicago's Best.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. So, yeah, tell me about the special. Like, you know, how did this come to mind to do this way? Are you going to have more of them? And what is this one all about?
Well, I mean, it's kind of stemmed from out of necessity, out of the fact that as a group, as a team at Chicago's Best, you know, we're so wrapped into the restaurant industry and the, you know, the small run mom and pop places that since day one, we were all trying to figure out a way that we could best support, best do something without being too serious and heavy and without, you know, doing what we do best. And we had a bunch of phone calls and meetings, and we're trying to figure out what to do. And from that came this new episode that's going to air this Sunday night. And it's the first of its kind that we've ever put together, and the first we've done during the shelter in place that we hadn't filmed prior. And really, it's taking everything we could do. So we obviously couldn't go and visit any new restaurants. So we're revisiting some of our favorite, more memorable pizza places that we've done on the episode before, but we're adding to that some behind the scenes look with some running commentary from myself and my co-host Marley, and also the restaurant owners that we visited, the impacts on them, what it was like filming, anything that you didn't see in the original episode or segments that you don't normally see, but that, you know, you get that experience from on the shoot. So they're throwing lots of different elements together. I watched it for the first time, the final edited piece this morning, and I think the viewers, and obviously new viewers who we're getting quite a lot of now because people are stuck inside on Sunday night with nothing to do on Monday morning, I think they're all going to love it and find it really interesting, and it's something that it's really exciting for us to be able to put out something new and fresh whilst being forced to in some respects because we can't do anything else. And it's really come together beautifully. I'm very excited about people seeing it.
Nice. Can you preview any of the places you're going to hit, like some of the ones that that you hit before?
I can give you a couple of glimpses. We visit. You're in Chicago. You have to do a thin crust square cut tavern style or party cut, whatever you want to call it. We hit a legendary spot, Palermo's on 63rd. I know a lot of people know Palermo's on 95th as well. But yeah, we go to Palermo's on 63rd. We also visit Coal Fire, which is, as far as I'm aware, is still the only pizza restaurant in Chicago that uses purely coal to cook their pizza with. So we have some great reminiscing, catching up with some old friends and alumni of the show, and giving it some new life and some behind the scenes access and information and fun commentary that you would never have seen before.
I like that. It's making me hungry, and it was making me hungry just writing some of this stuff down. And I'm on
That's
a cleanse.
That's my job, Dave.
I'm on a cleanse right now. You know, I do this bi-yearly cleanse, and so there's no.
Why do you do this to yourself?
Because first of all, you know, you weigh about 100 pounds. I can gain that in a second.
I'm 103 since quarantine.
Yeah, and really, you gained 3 pounds. Yeah, I didn't. In the last 2 months, I have noticed a considerable, like, when my wife sees me going into the pantry and I'm getting some Oreos or whatever, I kind of look over because I feel like I'm being watched, and she puffs up her cheeks, like, like I'm getting fat. And so, you know, I decided to do, you know, this little cleanse. And it keeps me good for about 4 months. Then you really got to have some discipline. But I'll lose 20 pounds probably out of this. But there's no drinking, so I'm really angry right now. Just pissed.
If this whole situation has taught me anything, it's that life is precious and short, and you should fill it with the things that you love, the people you love, and the things that you love, whether that's cake or bread. Beer, wine, spirits, enjoy yourself. That's all I'm going to say. In moderation, obviously.
So I should go home and have some bourbon and Oreos. Is that what you're saying?
And an entire loaf of bread.
I could do that with loads of butter. I could totally do that. And people are all, you know, thinking about pizza places that they're ordering from right now. You know, I appreciate, you know, Grubhub, you know, donating stuff back and whatever. But a lot of these places, we have to remember, they deliver themselves, and if you call the restaurant, especially these pizza places, because they are a lot of mom and pops, they have people that will deliver, and without all those extra fees. So
I would advise people to call, like you said, call the restaurants direct.
Yeah,
I don't want to talk too much about Grubhub per se, But I think if people have been paying attention, then they know how much the restaurants get charged by Grubhub to order. One thing I will say with third-party delivery services, which is really interesting that's happened right now, I don't know if you're aware of a company called Tock, which was co-founded by Alinea Group's Nick Konas. Originally, that was just a reservation service, but during all this, they have now pivoted into being a delivery service. And Nick, coming from the industry himself, they charge the restaurants a flat fee, I believe, to be just 3%. They've actually secured $10 million worth of funding into this arm of their new part of Tock while this is all happening. So if Tock is involved, I would say it's a Chicago-based company, and they're charging these restaurants a very small amount of money for this delivery service. But yes, if you can, please, please, please call the restaurants direct.
Yeah.
Be patient with them, and please use their delivery services.
I have done a Pequod's pickup because I just love their caramelized crust. I've done a Pizza Dewey on the way home. I know that's not your local neighborhood place. Vito Nick's, I'm kind of looking forward to trying to do that. La Briola in Streeterville is a favorite.
Beautiful.
Too. Holtz has got pizza in Park Ridge. It's a different style, but it's one of my favorites. There's a taco pizza that my kids cannot get enough of. It is just full of flavor. But I've been
I thought of you a few days ago when I saw that Gale Street Inn was reopening as well, because I know how you fawn over their ribs.
I do. You know, while he was closed, and I'm going to do this to him if he's listening, while he was closed, I still needed ribs. I needed them, you know. So got some from Carson's one weekend, got some from The Great Escape in Schiller Park. I got some. I actually drove up. There was one day that Josh and I just wanted to drive, and we drove up to, you know, the lake, like between Lake Geneva and Delavan. There's a little place, and we just wanted their Friday night fish fry or whatever it was. And we pull up, and the owner's like, "Oh, you guys staying up here?" And no, you're driving back to Chicago. You came up here for Chicago. Yeah. Probably took you 20 minutes to get here. You probably wanted to get away from your wife. You probably wanted to get away from your sister. Like, he was calling me out. Like, why did I come all this way to get food? Now, you know, I've been trying to hit all the places, you know, a couple times here to support. You know, I mean, that's what you want to do, because you want these places to be around, obviously, when this is all over, right?
Of course. And if you need some cooking at home tips, Dave, you know, you can always tune into the Chicago's Best Facebook page, because we're pumping out like new cooking videos, demo videos every single day of the week during all this, because we need to keep sane as well. So we're sharing some of our limited expertise with our audience.
Yeah, what was that egg thing that you did? You said you grew up with that. Tell me what that was, or share that with us real quick.
So I showed a restaurant-style basting of a steak. I showed grilling of pizza on the grill from scratch with a dough. But you're choosing the boiled egg recipe that I made.
You know what? Because I screwed
one,
up. I've screwed
it
up for I've screwed it up for 53 years. Let's say 52. It's 52.
It's something that I grew up with. I for the longest time was led to believe and thought and believed it was purely a European or very very Anglophile, very British thing. It's called egg and soldiers, boiled egg and soldiers. All it simply is taking a boiled egg, which you cook for about 5.5 minutes maximum, because you want a soft yolk inside.
Yeah, right.
You take some toast. You cut that toast into strips, and they're your soldiers. And then you get you need an egg cup. If you don't have an egg cup, you can use a shot glass.
Yep.
To put your soft boiled egg in
smart.
Top. You crack the top off, or you slice the top off, and then you just take those soldiers into battle. You dunk them in the top of that soft yolk. And it's something fun, you know? I think it's a comfort breakfast for me. It reminds me of being like 6-7 years old. And it's very comforting. There's nothing for me quite like a soft boiled egg or a soft yolk, and dipping that toast in the top with all that melting butter. It's just incredible.
5.5 minutes.
5.5 minutes.
All right, good to know.
You put the egg into the boiling water. Make sure that egg is at room temp before you put it in, because otherwise that shell will crack.
Beautiful. And other Facebook Live as well. People don't think about pizza on the grill. That's a great way to do something different, get outdoors right now. Well, the new episode of WGN-TV Chicago's Best airs Sunday at 10:30, focused on pizza delivery and curbside on WGN-TV. Thanks, buddy, for hanging out. And, you know, I hope the next time we're across from each other here, pal.
Me too. Can I just say one quick thing, Dave?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to thank our essential workers, the bus drivers, restaurant workers, doctors, nurses, grocery store clerks, anyone else I've missed who works on the front line keeping Illinois moving forward. I salute and I love you all. And also, if you're getting from restaurants, please tip well. And also, Dave, I miss you, buddy.
I miss you, too, and I raise a glass to everything you said as well. Take care, bud.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.